All right, I don't know how many of you guys can... I think I can see most of the drivers here. It's hard to tell because it's all tinted windows. So if you guys fall asleep during the service, I will never know. So this is your chance. You should be on 88.1. Obviously, if you're hearing me, you're on that. If you hear me, just give me a little toot. All right. Also, you got the advantage. You can turn me up. You can turn me down. You can turn the station. You can do whatever you want to do. But we're excited that you guys are here with us today. Got together with the deacons and we're talking about, you know, not sure when the end is in sight. Lord willing, kind of listening to what our governor is saying. It sounds like we have, I'm hoping in June, we'll be up to be able to assemble 50 or less in there. And if that's the case, we'll probably try to get into the church service. And if we got to split the service up to keep the numbers down, we'll do what we got to do because I miss you all. This is just driving. this has just been. We're designed to worship together. We're designed to encourage one another. And so this has been hard. And so, you know, we can't wait. So we're going to do this. And so we got everything going on here. Bill Anderson is our host. Why don't you go ahead and give him a nice. I mean, it's almost Pentecostal going on here. But we turn around and he's been gracious to let us come up here again. And so if you guys want, I know some people sent him some thank you notes, but if you wanted to send him a note, it's Bill Anderson, Harborside RV Resort. I think it's 5 Harborside is the address actually here. But if you want to send him a note, he's been so gracious to do this. But going forward, now until, you know, I'm praying June, but so all of this month, we're going to have drive-in church service, but not here. Mark Bradstreet has been kind enough to let us go down to his auction place, and so that's just right on Route 1. You can't miss it. We'll get a sign out there, and so for the next couple weeks, we're going to be rain or shine. Hopefully, we don't get electrocuted, but we're going to continue to get together as we can in this format. So we'll be next week, 11 o'clock. Does that work for everyone, 11? Oh, okay. How many would you rather have it like in the afternoon? Oh, okay. The beeps have it. So, but we'll turn around and like I said, next week we're going to be down there. I'll send out an email. We'll put it on Facebook and we'll keep you guys all informed of what's going on. Hopefully you guys are getting the emails or at least again, stuff on Facebook, and help us out with that. If you guys will like and share, I know all the YouTube and Facebook people say that, but it does make a difference of getting the word out and how they kind of treat us. So if you like and share stuff, word gets out a whole lot faster. So anyways, you didn't come here to hear me blabber on. Hopefully you got your songs. I sent those out. Also on Facebook, if you want to go to the update one, you need a clamp.
Yes.
All right. Bear with us as we fight the elements. There we go. So hopefully you got that. If not, if you want to jump on to Facebook on right now, there should be that latest update. Any of the songs we're singing, On the Solid Rock, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. We're going to sing. There's 4 verses of this. We're going to sing them all. I'm going to try to sing real quiet and let my wife sing really loud. So if you got your songs with you, if not, you can Google the words to it. If not, go to Facebook and all that. Or if you just want to sit back and relax and enjoy, that is fine as well. So On Christ the Solid Rock, I Stand.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds with
Heavenly Father, we praise you and exalt you, Lord, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, you are in control of all this. And Lord, help us as your people to cling to you, to cry to you at this time. Lord, be our reassurance, be our hope, and be our stay. Lord, we want to praise you together. Lord, even though we're in separate vehicles, Lord, we're united in heart and one purpose because you are the Almighty God and you are worthy of praise. So Lord, I pray you just give us a blessing this morning. Lord, that you are here in our midst. Lord, we ask these things in your name. Amen. I've been putting my wife into a workout. If you've been appreciating the music, give me a little honk here. So I married all right. I did well. that's right. And so she's been gracious enough. I've been putting her through her paces trying to get the recordings on. You know, we're doing a prayer meeting online now. We've been doing the Sunday services. And so I've been wearing her out, and pray for her. She's been stuck at home with me, and no one deserves that. But this morning, I asked if she would pull out another special music for us. And so, Cindy, if you don't mind sharing. Oh, I got to change out. Hold on.
You're a muscle.
See, I am good for something. There we go. There you go.
You call me out upon the waters.
Get used to this horn thing. All right. But you know, the Lord has made us brave in the midst of all these things. And yeah, hopefully you're all doing all right. You know, I every time I see, you know, one of you or through the emails and stuff, I always ask how you're doing, and you typically get, we're doing okay. And I hope you're not lying to me. Hopefully you really are. And these are interesting times. And I think part of that is that, you know, I'm kind of clinging to, when is the end? When is this going to be over? And I don't know. And Lauren, go ahead, go over and just pick that up, please. Headphones off. There you go. I got a piece of paper here flowing around. But in the midst of all these things, God is good. And if Satan's been trying to use this to kind of thwart the church, it hasn't worked. You know, just before I came out, I was looking at the information online and all this Facebook stuff and all this YouTube stuff and the church website. And I just pulled off because we've been putting all our services online. And pray for all that. As everything goes on there, pray God uses it. I pulled off this morning that last month we had 380 sermons were listened to off the church's website. Huge spike. God's using this. You know, we're going to put this and put all these things online as well. And you know, we're getting 100, almost 200 views on all these things. I think people, I don't know. I don't know if people are bored and looking for something to do and say, hey, look, check this out. Or I think people are looking for hope. And looking for things, and I think God has really allowed his church to be thrust into the scene, and people are watching us and how we behave. And you know, Peter tells us to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that's within us. And we have so much hope that we have a God who's bigger than all this, and I hope you're finding comfort in that as well. And I was going through and I was trying to figure out a passage of scripture to go to. I don't, you know, we've been going online and we've been going through the Ten Commandments and I'm down to the last two. And this just didn't feel like the right format for to continue on in that. So I'll probably record something. Lauren's been doing all the tech stuff, so she's been learning pretty good. If you got anything electronic, give it to an 11-year-old and they can figure it all out. But so I'm probably going to finish off that series, do that online. But I think times like this, I think the Spirit just stirs within us, you know, a different message. And I want to encourage you, Matthew chapter 14. I don't know if you guys have Bibles there. I don't know if you want to pull up your phone. But I want to encourage you, to, if you do that, to pick that up. Because we talk about following the Lord. And really, this passage of scripture points out that John the Baptist has just been killed, and the Jews had considered John a prophet. And some had wondered if he was the Messiah, if he was the promised one. And so in here, they looked, and they were expecting great things, and then John got arrested and then got killed. And that really sent a ripple within the people. I can't help but think, I think of this virus, what's going on, it's really sent a ripple across everyone. It's disrupted all our lives. You know, whether you're being cautious being out, and you're, you know, and some of you should be really cautious going out because you're in that bracket where you can get really harmed. But even if, you know, so I'm going to go out and I'm not afraid, and everything's just hard. You know, I just needed one little cable and try to get that. It was a whole day process of trying to find and make some calls and try to get what we needed. It sent ripples through all of this. And when we come across these things, we get into these areas, we kind of fall into one of four groups. And Matthew 14 really sort of symbolizes these four groups of people. And ask yourself, kind of, where are you in this? The first group, Jesus, remember, John the Baptist has been killed. Jesus travels, and as he travels, he comes into a city. And as he's traveling out, the crowd from the city comes out. And the first group of people I want to talk about this morning is the people that didn't come out. You know, the Bible says here that verse 13, chapter 14 of Matthew says, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. And when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. He was moved with compassion on them and healed their sick. Because Jesus had been going around doing miracles. And so people, you know, had their sick aunt or maybe their lame uncle, or maybe they had an issue in themselves and they were, hey, here's Jesus. He's the answer. And people were flocking out. But I can't help but think of how many people didn't even leave their homes. Here, the answer was out there, right? Jesus had a record of healing and forgiving and loving. And yet time and time again, people just choose to reject it and don't even show up. You know, it breaks my heart. I'm not a Facebook guy. You know, all of this has forced me into being that. But it's kind of scary because now I know what people are thinking. And I don't want to know. I really don't. I'm just shocked by how many people are just anti-religion, anti-God. The hostility that's there. And folks, we can share and we can witness and we can show the truth, and there's people that just won't care. Maybe you have loved ones, people that you know, that you're hoping and praying that this will kind of rock their world, that this will stir them up and they will look out for an answer. And only God can stir their hearts. But also God gives a free will, and people need to surrender that will to God. And I'm guessing you're not in that group because you're here this morning. You got up, came out in your car, you found the place. You're seeking, and this brings you at least to the second group. These are the people that showed up. These are the people that showed up. And this passage goes on. This is the feeding of the 5,000. The Bible says there was at least 5,000 people who showed up to see Jesus. And some had wondered, you know, maybe some of them had needs. Maybe some of them just wanted to see the show. Right? They wanted to see what Jesus was going to do. Well, you heard in the last town he was at, he healed a blind man. Maybe he'll do that again. Maybe some people wanted to come and hear his message. That people had talked about that, look, there's been no one who speaks like this Jesus guy. But here you have the religious leaders, though that all those were invested in sort of that religiosity, that formal religion that really kind of binds people down and not elevates people up. And time again, Jesus showed he was so much greater than all that. Jesus isn't worried about the process. He's worried about the people. He cares. And so people were coming for all of that. And so when Jesus shows up, this great multitude shows up for whatever reason it is. And we have a lot of people, I think, who fall into that. And maybe you fall into this morning. You know, you know that there's a God. You believe, yeah, maybe Jesus is. But, you know, these people came. You know what the Bible says they did afterwards? They went home. There's a lot of people who kind of dabble in religion, who want to dabble with God, but it doesn't make a personal impact on their life. You know, they show up at church and maybe wear a cross, but their life hasn't changed. They go back to their old routine. And it's interesting that Jesus had compassion on these people. Actually, they were there all day. Jesus was preaching and teaching, and he was healing. I imagine it was quite the event. I don't think there was social distancing. Jesus touched and Jesus healed. Jesus hugged. But the Bible says, then when it was evening, the disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves. The disciples were kind of the bean counters, and they're going on, and they say, oh, it's getting late in the day. The people have been here all day. They haven't eaten. They're getting hungry. They need to get back in the town. Jesus, wrap this up and send them all home. And Jesus had compassion on them. And I need to learn that lesson because sometimes when people want to sort of play that religious game, and sometimes it's easy for me to get sort of that self-righteous. You know, what's wrong with them? Don't they take this serious? And I need to have the heart of Jesus. And Jesus had compassion on them. And the disciples are like, send them away. And Jesus is like, no, you feed them. What? There's a lot of people here. We don't have much. And actually, they went out to the crowd, and they ended up with just a few fish and a few loaves of bread. Jesus, look, don't you understand? This is all we have. It's not enough. And in ministering and working with people, I feel that frustration, right? Sometimes I feel like I'm not good enough to be used by God. But you know what? It's not about me. It's about Him. That Jesus, in the midst of this, said, hey, give me it. And He took that little and He blessed it. And little becomes much in Jesus' hand. Because, see, we differentiate here now because we talk about those who didn't come. Then we have the crowds that came. But now we start talking about this third group of people. We have the disciples, those who have followed Jesus. Those that God has made a difference in their life, and they've chosen to follow Him. And Jesus looks at His disciples and says, have compassion on this group. You minister to them. And maybe you're here this morning and you're one of these people who said, yes, Lord, I love you, Lord. I've asked you into my heart, into my life, and you have made a difference and I want to serve you. But sometimes we feel inadequate. We feel inadequate. I shouldn't speak for you. Maybe I'm the only one. What difference can I make? Right? What if I post? What if I say something? What if I write a card? What difference is it going to make? Let me tell you something. Lay it down in Jesus' hands, and little becomes much. And Jesus took that little bit of bread and took a few of those fish and fed everyone. And so much so, the Bible says that afterwards they gathered up 12 baskets full. There was more when it was done than when it started. That's how awesome our God is. I believe when all this thing is over, God's church is going to grow. I think there are people who are hungry and they were fed. There are people who were searching and someone pointed them the way. And because of some of you and what you're doing and how you're praying and how you're encouraging, I believe as you're doing all that, you're going to make a difference in people's lives. Lasting change for all eternity. See, that's how our God works. You know, a lot of people are afraid, what's going to happen to the church? It's God's church. I'm not worried. He's going to take care. We're just called to be faithful. Lord, here's my little bit. This is all I have, Lord. Take it. It's yours. So we've gone from the great city of people who didn't come out. We come down to the 5,000 who came out. We talk about the disciples, which were 12. And these were men who gave it all. Actually, who gave up and surrendered. I think of Matthew, who was a tax collector, left his table with Jesus. We had Peter, Paul, James, and John, who were fishermen, who left their nets to follow Jesus. And many others left all behind and served the Lord. And folks, these are the Christians that are just sold out. I hope you're one, at least one of those. See, Lord, I'm willing. I'll trade it all, but Lord Jesus, give me Jesus. But there's one more group I want to look at this morning. That we've gone from the city of people who didn't come. We come to the multitude of those that came. We come down to the 12. Well, Jesus turns around to these 12 and tells them, he says, immediately afterwards, he feeds all of them. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side, and he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountains by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. Jesus turns them off and sends them off. Jesus says, look, I'm going to go up. I imagine it was an exhausting day. And Jesus says, I'm going to go up into the mountains and I'm going to pray. But you guys get into the boat and head out. And cross over this small ocean, a small body of water, the sea, and go on the other side, and I'll meet you there. And they get into the boat, and as they are going down, the Bible says, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by waves. The wind was contrary. Somewhere along the line, I think really early in my Christian faith, I thought that once you give your life to God, everything was easier. Actually, I remember hearing a preacher once say, look, if you come and give your life to Christ, that you'll never have another problem again. Do you think that's true? If you don't think that's true, if you give your life to Christ and things always hasn't been easy, let me give me a honk. Yeah. Being a Christian doesn't exempt us from the problems of this world. What this means is we have a God who comes alongside with us. And Jesus sends his disciples off there. Jesus knew that there was going to be a storm. But he was going to test them. He was going to use this as an opportunity. And so he sends them off. And here they thought they were alone, but not at all. Jesus knew all the way. They got off into the ocean. They got off into the middle of this. And the wind was contrary. They're rowing and they're actually losing ground. Now, some of the disciples were fishermen. They were used to the rough waters. Right? I've been out in a boat when it gets a little choppy and I get a little nervous. A couple years ago, we went deep sea fishing and we went out. And I'll tell you, when you get out in the ocean and you can't see shore, that's a little creepy. And I remember asking the captain, you know, we're about a mile or so out. And I asked him which way shore was. And he goes, well, shore is, you know, a mile and a half, 2 miles that way. And I felt better. I don't know if I thought, well, if the boat goes down, I'll swim. I mean, that's not going to happen. I can't make it that way. And so, you know, I always was looking at the captain and make sure he was reassured and he was calm and everything was fine. And so my nervousness was reassured. Now, if I had looked at the captain and the captain was scared, I would have gotten nervous. So I imagine the storm was pretty bad when the fishermen were getting nervous, when the fishermen were scared. And so here they are rowing and going and going and not getting anywhere. And where's the end in sight? And the Bible turns around and says this. It says, now the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. Now the fourth watch is between 3 o'clock in the morning and 6. Here they've been going all night long. They were tired. They were exhausted. They didn't know what was going to happen. They were fearful of their life. But remember, Jesus sent them. And Jesus knew. And the Bible says that Jesus met them on the water. How? He didn't have his own boat. He was walking on the waves. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Even the waves and the sea obey him. And Jesus has authority above all these things. And Jesus has authority over this coronavirus, over the fear that this world has. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And even though the storm is tough, even though we don't feel like we're getting anywhere, Jesus has not abandoned us. Actually, the book of Mark says that because they see this going off, and they start yelling out. And Mark says that if Jesus hadn't stopped, he would have passed them. And he yells out to them. And immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Folks, that voice goes out today to us. Don't be afraid. Don't get me wrong. Be cautious. Be careful out there. But folks, you don't have to be afraid. Our answer isn't going to come from Washington. Our answer isn't going to come from Augusta. Our answer is through Jesus Christ. Amen? I do like the horns. All right. But Jesus says, be of good cheer. You know what? They're still rowing. They're still panicking. All this is going on. Jesus says, look at me. And this brings us down to the last group. And this last group is a group of one. We've gone from the multitudes of the city who didn't come out. We come to the multitude that came out. Then we come down to the 12 disciples. And then last we come out to Peter. Verse 28 says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come out on the water. And he said, come. And then when Peter came out of the boat, he walked in the water to Jesus. Peter gets picked on. Peter's got a big mouth. Sometimes Peter's mouth engages before his head kicks in. I understand that. I know what it's like to put my foot in my mouth. Actually, I have a big mouth. I can get both feet in my mouth at the same time, right? I know what it's like. I know what my foot tastes like because I've done that. But Peter turns around and says, Lord, if that's you, let me come out. In the middle of the storm, in the middle of all the panic, what happened was he looked at Jesus and says, Jesus, I want to be where you are. And Peter gets a blessing because Jesus says, come. Get out of the boat. And Peter does. And Peter walks on the water. But as he starts going in, he gets a little nervous. Verse 30 says, and when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you a little faith, why did you doubt? Peter got out, was walking, and all of a sudden he heard the wind. All of a sudden he saw the waves. And fear sunk in, and he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he began to go down. Now, over the years, I've heard a lot of sermons pick on Peter. Oh, ye a little faith. Oh, Peter doubted. Peter had fear. Can I tell you something? Peter got out of the boat. There's 11 disciples who stayed behind. Only one stepped out. And I don't know how far he got, maybe about halfway before he got scared, but he walked on the water. Lord, give me that kind of faith. Because, you know, I think sometimes in our Christian life, one of the things we're fearful of is failure. Right? Because guys like me will say, oh, Peter, oh, where was your faith? Peter failed, but he tried, and actually he succeeded. He walked on water for a while. He got farther than everyone else. How cool is that? And don't let your fear of failure hold you back of a life of faith. We had a professor in Bible school. He said the Christian life is like having a house on a cliff. It's a little precarious at a time, but boy, the view is great. Lord, give me that view. Help me live by faith. I'm going to stumble. I'm going to fail along the way. But praise God, I can focus on you and I can look at you and enjoy the blessings along the way. I would rather try with Jesus than fail without him. Does that make sense? Walking with him. And say, Lord, I'm going to be a sold-out radical Christian for you. I want to be a fanatic for you. I was thinking about this the other day because you watch the news. And I feel bad because everyone's home now. And I think they're all doing their own makeup, their own hair. They're all trying to do all this. I was watching one cast. And the weatherman was trying to do his thing. And his golden retriever came running in and jumped on him in the middle of all this. You know, trying to do this all at home. But the one I really feel bad for is the sports guy. Are any of you guys sports fans? I was listening to this one guy, and he's like, I've been watching all these old baseball games. He goes, I need sports. And so he's been watching all these old games, which I don't understand what fun is watching sports if you know who's going to win. I don't understand that. But he's enjoying all these old games. But the sports guy gets on the news, and he's got nothing to talk about. Because everything is closed. And I was just thinking, you know what? What if all these fanatics over their sports teams turn around and said, you know what? I'm going to be a fanatic for Jesus Christ. You know? I'm going to be the one who waves the banner. I'm the one who's going to shout, to wear the t-shirts. I'm going to be all these things. I want to be radical. I want to be a fan for Jesus Christ. I want to be a Peter. I want to be the one who steps out. Even though no one else does, I want to be the one who steps out. Lord, let me be that kind of man with that kind of faith. And you know what people say? Well, you're going to fail. So be it. Because here's the cool thing. So picture the scene. They're out here and the waves and they're going on. The wind is blowing and Jesus is walking on the water and the disciples are in the boat. And Peter says, let me come out. And they all kind of look at him like, Peter, you're nuts. Always kind of like that. You know, when people look at you and say, you know, this whole Jesus thing, you're nuts. I said, you know what you're missing. And so Peter says, you know, Jesus, let me come out. And Jesus says, come. And Peter gets up, gets out of the boat, and he walks on the water. But he gets about halfway, and the water splashes on him, the wind's blowing, and he gets his eye on Jesus, and he starts going down. But here's the cool thing. And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. Immediately, Jesus catches him. Jesus was not going to let Peter go down all the way. And no matter where we are, as we step out by faith and say, Lord, use me. Lord, help me be a fanatic for you. Help me to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, let me serve you with all that I am. As I step up to the plate and do that, if I fail, Jesus is right there and he catches us. Jesus never fails. The old hymn says, Jesus will never let you down. Now, I don't know, like I said, stepping up, I always picture the scene that Peter made it about halfway. And Peter got his eyes off the Lord. But Jesus was there in an instant. Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That he is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. Jesus is there. And the distance that he makes up, isn't for us to make up. He makes that up. He reaches us where we're at. Folks, Jesus never fails. And then the Bible says here, at this point, he's got Peter, and they turn around, they return to the boat, and Jesus calms the winds and the waves. But Jesus was in control the whole time. So I want to ask you this morning, which group identifies you? Are you the group that stays behind and isn't even interested in things? I don't think you're in that group. You're here. Maybe you're the group who comes out, the large group of 5,000 who come out and they're interested, but they want to see it. And maybe it's because of what's in it for them or maybe what they can see and be entertained. When it's all said and done, they just go back to their old life. Oh, wasn't it exciting? We saw Jesus. Well, now what? And so many people will do that. They'll come up and, oh yeah, there's God and, but it makes no lasting impression. They just go back to their old life. I hope none of you will fall into that category. Maybe you're like the 12. Maybe you've made that commitment to Jesus. You've accepted him as your Lord and Savior. And he's made a difference in your life. And there's things you've left behind. And there's things that you're doing. You listen to his voice and do what he says. And I hope most of you are in that category. Lord, I love you. I want to serve you with my life. I want to follow you. And maybe some of you will be like Peter. That in the midst of the storm, the midst of it all, you want something more. You want that radical faith that gets out of the boat. Lord, use me. Lord, help me to stay closer to you. Jesus, I'm here, and you're on the water. I want to be where you are. It might be scary. I don't know what's entitled in all that, but Jesus says, come. And I believe today, more than ever, we need people who will step up by faith and say, yes, Jesus, no matter the cost, I want to do what you want me to do. I will be close to you wherever you go. Even though it's on the waves, even though the wind is blowing, I'm going to come. And maybe what's keeping a lot of people back is that fear. What if I fail? Jesus catches you. I want to challenge you and dare you by faith step out of the boat and say, Jesus, I want to be 100% sold out for you. Use me. And I can be what you want me to be. Jesus, catch me. But I want to get out of the boat. I want to get out of the boat. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we praise you and exalt you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, you haven't called us to a life of lukewarmness. Lord, your people need a revival. To be on fire for you, to serve you and love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, help us leave the comforts of the boat and step out onto the water. And by faith, Lord, knowing you will catch us if we fail. But what a blessing we can have to serve you. Lord, we went from 5,000 to 12 to 1. Lord, the song I can't help but think of is, I have decided to follow Jesus. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Nor there are few that will step out. Lord, let it be me. Use me. Empower me. And Lord, pour your grace and mercy upon me. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen. All right.